Good morning and welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 2nd of September. It is apparently a new season, a new fall season, and I know that's because next door the coffee has been replaced with pumpkin spice. That's how you can tell.
I'll have to stop and get some.
Yeah, there's no coconut coffee anymore. It's now pumpkin spice. So
I have nothing to say.
That's how you can tell. It is now officially fall. We are no longer in the summer season. Yesterday was Labor Day. Now all things fall. Good morning. Welcome to our panel this morning. And we are very grateful that you are with us. We welcome you to join in on the conversation roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce our panel to you this morning. We have the wonderful Dr. Alan Chartok with us. Good morning, sir.
Well, thank you for the appellation.
Well, thank you. And Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is here, as he is every Tuesday morning and whenever we beg and plead, which is all the time.
good morning. Happy to be
you.
Here in the fall season.
Yes, enjoy it. And and wearing a lovely sweater, we welcome Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armail.
Just call me Pumpkin Spice.
I wanted to call you that since you started on the show, I have to say.
The fourth spice girl.
Yes, our right? Lovely pumpkin spices here. We welcome you again, roundtable at WAMC.org. We have a lot of things to discuss, but first, let us talk about some really cool news. Alan, I'll let you lead with the, tell us the big headline here, but we have a wonderful, as you know, anyone who has followed the radio station, we had a great lockbox challenge our last time around to shorten the fund drive. It was great. And now we have this terrific opportunity where the gauntlet has been thrown down.
It takes just a second. Our control room is to this radio station as the Model T is to automobile development. We have a lot of things that have to be changed now, things that aren't being supported by the companies that put them in, all kinds of stuff. So the Linux Foundation, that's with two N's, has agreed to give us, to set up a challenge. They will give us $25,000 towards the money that we need to do this thing. If we can raise $200,000 from this time forward to the start of the fund drive, that means since we already have $100,000, we'll go into the fund drive with about $300,000. That really will be fantastic, but we really do need everybody's help here. You know, in every fund drive, people step up and they say, "What do you got planned for this fund drive?" And we always say, "We have no idea." And so much of this stuff is serendipitous. We're delighted that the Linux Foundation and our friend Bob Norris have agreed to do this. It's a great deal of money, but they know what they're doing, and it really is an incentive to get it done. That's the way they helped us with the Linda in the beginning, if you remember, everybody. And here they're doing this now. But they're tough, and they know their business, and they say, we'll give you the $25,000, but it should not be, with all the people listening, should not be that hard to get $200,000. Well, it will be hard, everybody, and I'm depending on you to help out.
So the great news is that with this challenge now of we need to get to $300,000 by October 6th, we have $114,000 already raised, which means we need $186,000 by October 6th to take advantage of this generous offer.
You're so right.
Yes.
Everything you just said, all you got to do is go to WAMC.org and go to the lockbox and just make your pledge, whatever it is. It could be $5, it could be $500, it could be $1,000. But believe me, we need this money and we need to make this control room state of the art, or, well, getting to state of the art.
Right. Or at least,
at least things won't be breaking down and hearing glitches, if you know what I mean.
State of the art circa 1998. Yeah. Well, that's good enough. If you're able, if we're able to meet the challenge, we'll use the $25,000 from the Linux Foundation to update our master control room. Again, WAMC.org. And we'll start to get regular updates from the wonderful Megan Finnegan, who will tell us what is going on. And it is a great challenge. And again, WAMC.org to take care of the lockbox. The lockbox is open and doing quite nicely. Thank you. So
operators
keep it going.
Are standing by.
Absolutely. That's right. You can call or go online.
You do anything you
WAMC.org. We'll certainly take care of you. Meanwhile, just a reminder, we have our panelists in the studio, and they're here and ready to talk about a variety of issues. So we will
snore.
Did you?
I'm awake.
Okay, you're up. Good. Let's talk.
You were.
I was thrilled. No, I was thrilled, Alan. Thrilled.
I see now.
Let's start with NATO. As Ukrainian leaders warned on Monday of a great war with Russia, NATO leaders meeting in Wales this week were expected to endorse their most concrete response yet to increase Russian military intervention in Ukraine. Establishing a rapid reaction force capable of deploying quickly to Eastern Europe, officials of the alliance said. The new force of some 4,000 troops capable of moving on 48 hours' notice will be supported with logistics and equipment pre-positioned in Eastern Europe countries closer to Russia, with an upgraded schedule of military exercises and deployments that are intended to make NATO's commitment to collective defense more credible and enhance its deterrence. The agreement is planned as the substantive centerpiece of the NATO meeting, which will take place Thursday and Friday and will be attended by President Obama, who will also make a stop in Estonia before the summit meeting. His aides say the trip was intended to highlight the U.S.'s commitment to NATO and the alliance's determination to protect all 28 members from aggression from Moscow or elsewhere.
Now, Rosemary, the stopover in Estonia has particular resonance, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think we're back in the Cold War again. These could be headlines from
This is really scary.
Yeah,
to me, people have. I've been saying all along, this is scary because, as in World War I, you never know what will come out of things. This KGB colonel. Otherwise known as Putin, really does believe in his heart of hearts that the Ukraine belongs to him.
Well, he does, and I don't blame it all on Putin. I think he is acting also out of great frustration with the way he's been treated by the West. And the president continues to do that. He's a regional power, a second-rate power. And I'm kind of floored by
Putin's
this.
Putin's a second-rate power.
That's how Obama's been treating him, rather than as, another potential world leader. I'm also amazed that we're still acting like, don't do one more thing. Hold it. The line's here. He's invaded Ukraine. He's there. His troops are there. And we're still saying, okay, we're drawing the line now at Estonia.
But he says they're not there.
Yeah, I know. He's
lying. So he's a liar.
But I hope there's a lot going on in NATO that we're not being told about. I would assume there is because it's essentially war. But even in anticipation of what NATO is expected to do in Wales at the end of the week, Putin's people are already announcing a step up in military alertness and what they're going to do. I mean, we're almost...
Well, the defense minister already said...
Correct.
Now that you're going to have these 4,000... people
ready to go.
We have to reassess the way we. That's so funny. First, you punch the guy in the nose, then the guy says, "Okay, I'm going to hit you back," and you say, "Okay, good. I'm going to punch you in the nose twice."
I'm sorry. I still do think this is Hitler's playbook.
I agree with that.
Just like the early days of Hitler taking. No. I'm a reasonable man. I just want to protect the Germans who live outside our borders. I just want to make sure everybody has the right to determine what they really want, and that's what we're hearing again.
Well, here's Mike. I know you have a lot to say, but I want to go back for a second to see if I can figure this out. I'm not that bright, but it seems to me that what happened is that that the United States won, in quotations, the Cold War with the Russians. They gave up. And Putin comes in, and basically, in order to play to the crushed egos
Sounds like Weimar Republic, doesn't it?
Of the crowd. Yeah, he steps in and he says, I'm going to bring us back to our great halcyon days, right?
Correct.
And so what we really see here is this effort to do that. He plays to his crowd. He plays to his population. They like it. He gets ahead. He becomes a hero with his own people. And now he does this. And as you say, Weimar Republic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the crushed people. I'm going to cede the floor, though, to
John. Well, I was just going to say the significance of the president stopping in Estonia should not be missed. I mean, it's almost to say, you know, maybe you're in Ukraine, even though you're denying it as you're there, yeah. you know, as Rosemary points out so correctly. But, you know, Estonia is part of NATO, and we are ready to, you know, stand militarily behind it. It might be the, you know, show of force versus show of force. I just wonder when the next step is, who's going to take the first step back? Who's going to blink? And are we getting to one of those historic standpoints?
I would just point out that we were not so long ago saying, don't worry, Ukraine, we're there, we're going to protect you, when Putin was moving into Georgia. And we didn't. And France and Germany both talked Ukraine out of joining
NATO. The difference
is
Ukraine is not a member of NATO.
Because they were talked out of it. West said, we'll protect you.
But it is different. So. I mean, with a NATO, if Russia were to invade a NATO country,
the whole idea is everybody now fingers are getting itchy on the button, mm-hmm. and you don't know what somebody will do in a bad moment. I mean, I don't think Putin's that crazy, but as Arlo might say, when he one record he had, he said to them Russians got women in the army. He said, "I say them Russians have nuclear weapons," and you know that is a very scary proposition.
I do not think Putin is crazy at all. I would just like to say that
he won't do it.
No, I didn't say that. I said he's not crazy. He will do it if he can get away with it. And up to now, we have made it exceedingly easy for him.
He'd fire a nuclear weapon if he could?
Ukraine. I don't think he. I think he will take all the steps before that. And if he could get away with a small little nuclear weapon, I don't know. I don't see anything there to stop him.
Let me ask you. You pointed out that maybe we didn't handle this completely right, and
we
we're culpable
not.
Here.
We are
in the situation that we're in. What can we do now? I mean, what can the U.S. and what can the NATO countries do now to de-escalate this or to pull the...
I'm not sure that we should de-escalate exactly. I think that we have other economic... I think the economic sanctions have been incredibly effective. That's how you hurt people like Putin and operations like what Russia is. And Europe has not even pressed down all the way on the economic pressure. So we keep holding everything in reserve until what? What is it that's the unacceptable step? That invasion of Ukraine, that the flight and the way they handled the smashing down of that commercial flight, that didn't do it. So what is it? Is it really that they're going to go into Estonia and they're a full member, so that would be the step? I don't know.
Let me just ask another question, which has to do with NATO itself. I mean, we've certainly talked a lot about NATO and about its power or lack thereof. So how do we look as this group getting together this week on Thursday and Friday of what they're actually able to pull off?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it would be naive for anybody to think, we had this discussion the other day here, that the United States doesn't play a huge role in NATO.
Of course. One,
because there are people who think that NATO is somehow this other thing, other than the U.S. It isn't. You know, I mean, pretty much what we decide is what's going to happen. Now, we find other people to be the head of NATO. We have, you know, there's different people with different titles. But in the end, we don't want to say, because we've learned our lesson on that, we're going in alone without anybody else. We want to say, well, this is a NATO issue. Right? Or am I wrong?
That is true. Yeah, and yes. You're also right about international action happens when the United States, and there's a few other countries who could do it to make it happen, but it usually is the United States, whether we call it the UN or NATO. And that's why George Bush's coalition of the willing looked so foolish.
Pathetic.
I mean, it's what? Us and the Cameroons, you know? I mean...
So and nothing against Cameroons.
Nothing against Cameroons.
But maybe something against George Bush.
A little.
Perhaps.
But this is a really defining moment, I think, for Obama. And action is needed here. And as I say, the real tragedy of the wars that we waged wrongly, I think, in the Middle East shows now, because we don't have the money. It's hard to get the will from the people to go do this. This is a real outrage, and the country should be united on this.
Well, Tom says, just very quickly, I agree with the Hitler analogy. I think Putin learned a lesson from his German history.
Yep.
So what about this idea of, I started reading the story about this response force, this force of being able to, within 48 hours, come and do something?
Could you repeat that?
Sorry. The response force. The start of the article that I was reading earlier is about the creation of this response force.
Well, it's as Rosemary said before, 1, 2, 3, 3.5, 3.5.
Yeah. Okay, 48 hours.
My first reaction was, didn't we have that already? Doesn't NATO have it? It's supposed to be a response to aggression. Don't we have something like that already?
Well, that's what
I think it's just an announcement that, oh, look, we're doing something.
Yeah, because it just seemed to me like, all right, we don't already have that under control.
Yeah,
well, Pete from Toland is very annoyed with us. And he says, dear folks, I'm always interested in the opinions voiced on world affairs on your program. However, in big capital letters, the repetition of official Washington propaganda is a bit on the shocking side. I'd advise knocking off the assertion that any of you can accurately read Putin's mind. You're not any good at it. And these days, suppositions get people killed. Respectfully, Pete from Toland.
So what, we should just be quiet and wait till Obama tells us what's happening?
Precisely.
Oh, okay.
Just shut up.
That's my very nature.
Don't open your mouth.
Respect for authority and trust in big government. Yes.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will discuss other issues. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll talk about this and other issues as well. We have many letters to get to. Actually, do you have a couple there, Alan? I got about a minute if you want to read them now.
Okay. Julius, our regular correspondent, says, Putin may be sane enough to avoid actually using nuclear weapons, but what about some hopped-up field commander who might be crazy enough in the current resurgence of nationalism to fire a tactical nuke? Well, we hope that the president is the only one who's allowed to do that in terms of the code and the briefcase and the rest, but you never know. That's true. And then Joseph says, pretending that Russia was crushed at the end of the Cold War when they retained their nuclear forces is dangerously glib. No one can afford an escalation. Sanctions must be ramped up. Europe must be provided with energy and able to withstand a complete embargo of Russian hydrocarbons if sanctions are to succeed.
Well, Russia was crushed economically and, more importantly, in Putin's mind, who's very proud psychologically. He was not treated as our dealings with him was not as with a co-superpower. It was with a lesser power. He didn't deal directly with Hillary and Obama.
Yeah, I think the whole idea with the end of the so-called Cold War is to sort of leave some sense of, you know,
yeah, we thought, we're now going to obey us because they lost, so they're going to follow
us.
Yeah,
it's over. Now we're just in control. Yeah. We don't have to do anything but lead.
Right. That was wrong.
That was very
smug.
Wrong.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel, Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, and I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org. We have a couple letters to get to before we move on to topics, other topics.
Do we ever? Okay.
Bring your mic down there, Alan. We can't hear you.
Oh, yeah. See, that's because I have to keep the mic here so that anybody can see me from another place.
In the rock, paper, scissors, it's good if we hear you. So let's.
Okay. You'd rather hear me on the radio? Okay. All right.
Seems like a better bet.
All right. Okay. So here we go. No, that's wrong. That is just wrong that I pressed on that. Dennis says, we seem to cover just about every subject. We are aware that the world is in serious trouble. What are we doing about nuclear defense technologies, and are we up to date in case of a real negative move from Russia? Or are we going to run around like fools, like it happened when North Korea elevated threats with its new, young, foolish leader? How many others do you see? Roslyn?
That's all I see.
Yeah, okay. Good morning. Can you please speculate on Russia's financial oligarchs' possible positions on Putin's current actions? Do they stand to win or lose by his strategy? And that's from Rosalind in Clifton Park.
Who cares to speculate?
Well, I believe that he and his oligarchs work in cahoots, and they both know what the other is doing, and you can bet that they're in agreement.
And if he doesn't like what they're doing, he'll put them in jail.
Exactly. Yes. So the ones that are left are working with him.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that's right. Did you do we read Julius? I think we did.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
We thank you for your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we welcome you to write as well. It was Labor Day. Yeah, did you want to say something?
Well, yeah, I was thinking of the nuclear defense letter. That's a pretty good point, since we just found out now that we have to plan to have a rapid fire deployment team. Maybe we should be asking about, you sure you got that nuclear defense thing all worked out? That's kind of a frightening thought.
Yeah.
It was only a few months ago that they found that they had cheated on a lot of the certification of those who run the nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And they kicked them all out in one place. Remember that?
Right. Yeah. So they've replaced them with trained people, I'm sure, by now.
Yeah. It seems to me that's one of those things where follow-through is pretty important.
Yeah.
You know exactly what's going on.
No. But, you should just trust in the government.
You know, that's different than like a fire drill. Like, you should know at all times. Like, that's an everyday kind of thing. President Obama spoke yesterday. It was Labor Day, so he took the opportunity to renew his call for the federal minimum wage and to protect the right to equal pay for women as the midterm elections come into sight. He spoke in Milwaukee and at a festival hosted by the AFL-CIO. His goal, to make sure all Americans can meet simple goals like being able to pay their bills and send their children to school.
I think it's convincing rhetoric. I mean, you know, essentially the corporate profits are way up. CEOs are making many, many, many times what they made years ago. And it's only fair that the people responsible, the workers, share in some of the benefits of that. And I think that's an easy rhetoric, and I think it's a very populist rhetoric, and it's smart to do that, especially in Milwaukee, which is the battleground state for unionization, you know, with Scott Walker. Anyway.
I think you're right, rhetoric being the key here. I have a bunch of Bosnian journalists and lawyer friends who are traveling up and down the East Coast, and I asked them their biggest question of America, and it was the tyranny of tipping. Why do Americans accept that they must pay part of the salary of employees who are actually the responsibility of their employers? And that is, if you're talking about minimum wage, they say that's your starting point.
Yep. They make
Isn't that interesting?
That is a
well, I'm
great
fascinated
point.
By this whole business of when to tip. If you're an American, we were just, as you know, in Colombia, where people don't tip, but we tipped.
Wow. You must have been very popular.
We left something every morning at the, you know, you get free breakfast and then you put something on the table.
But that's a great point of why is it on us?
Yeah. And we accept it, you know, without question. And I said, well, you know, it really wouldn't save you any money because if you gave it to the employers, they would just add on the tax plus. And the Europeans say, okay, fine. At least then when you see the menu, you know what you're really paying. It's like a trick now.
Yeah,
it's a marketing ploy.
A little shorthand there.
Yeah,
it's short.
The lobster dinner is only $36. Ha ha ha!
Ha ha ha! Were you going to say something, Mike?
No, I just said, you know, the minimum wage situation. You know, this is one element of it, that there's exceptions within the minimum wage law that allow waiters and wait staff to be paid way under the minimum wage when the minimum wage itself is just really a poverty wage anyway.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is rhetoric, because how do you change even just tipping? How do we turn that around? Much less minimum wage, which is piecemeal going.
Well, some very good
changes.
Waiters and waitresses make a lot of money, I want you to know.
As they should. So the FBI and Apple say, Apple Incorporated, the company, not the fruit, said that they are looking into reports that someone stole nude photos of celebrities and posted the racy images online. The photos, which included several of actress Jennifer Lawrence, circulated on various websites and social media platforms Sunday. The photos first surfaced on the image-based online bulletin board is it 4chan? 4chan. 4chan. The letter 4, C-H-A-N, according to BuzzFeed. Apple said in a statement that it is actively investigating reports that the photos were stolen from its iCloud service, apparently as a from the Find Your iPhone app. That is ingrained in your phone. It is part
which you can turn on or turn off.
You can turn on and turn off.
But
I have to say, I use it all the time.
But
I never turn mine on.
I use it.
From the first moment, all of the tech heads around here tried to explain to me why you can use the cloud without feeling, you know, that there's anybody who can go to the cloud and find every single thing you have ever done.
Correct.
There, I just doubted that from the very beginning. Now, you guys say, well, wait a second now. This is just the find your phone. But I don't think so. I think where there's a hacker, where there's some data, somebody's going to figure out a way to go.
Well, absolutely. But but this in this particular, this was the avenue of which was used. I don't really understand. I guess once you find the phone of the person that you want, then you can hack into their phone. I guess that is
apparently
sort of how
it
it's being saying.
They aren't giving details, obviously. They're not going to
have
a how-to box on how to do it.
But it's that hacked into a bunch of email of celebrities a while back. So that's, that's exactly what they do. They use information online so that they can figure out how to fill out the, you know, forgot your password thing.
That's what happened a couple of years ago. He just read celebrities, information online, knew their names or their dogs and their parents, maiden names, and were able to hack into celebrities by pretending to be them.
Mike, have you put a nude picture of yourself on
cloud? I generally don't.
But these are
you,
people.
So you haven't. Well, yes, but please.
No,
I think the point is that people feel comfortable putting, their social security numbers, their passports, really private personal information up there, which may in some cases include pictures like that. And now apparently there's
and
a
you're,
warning.
You're given every assurance at the beginning that it's that information is safe. Rosemary, I love you because I have to say I looked at the story and go, oh my God, that is horrible. Where are these pictures?
So I looked them all up and I found them, and there's bunches and bunches of them. And basically, if you've seen a Playboy, you've seen it, except that it's Jennifer Lawrence. And so why was she doing it? I don't think this is a story about individual behavior. I mean, she's a beautiful woman, and pictures like that are taken of her all the time. She's an actress. I don't think it's a big deal to her. The real scary thing is just exactly as Alan has said, where the cloud was supposed to be, oh yeah, no problem with this ever. It's like pipelines will never leak, you know, use this technology. And it has betrayed us.
It has. And I think it's interesting of what Apple's responsibility in this, of how you get hacked, and ultimately, of course, the FBI getting involved as well. You know, what assurances can you give us? And are we at a point now where you can't put whatever analogy you want to use, genie back in the bottle, toothpaste back in the tube, that information is there. Mm-hmm. And what we're told is once it's on the internet, it's always on the internet. So then what do you do?
Right. But I mean, there are techniques, certainly changing your password frequently, making it complicated, making it not obvious. You know, there are ways to be extra cautious that I think people get lazy about, and they, use the...
Sure.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 password too often.
It's hard to be careful and cautious and also use social media. The whole design of social media is to share and to be open. And the best people to read and follow are the ones who are perhaps the least cautious, celebrities among them.
One wonders if, any of us called the FBI and said, somebody is doing this, whether we would get the same response that, the FBI is jumping
I think
to the point of whether it be private information, banking information, or I don't know. I guess maybe, pictures that you say I don't want up there. I don't know. Not as much, but. I do think that when you are hacking into a system and your information is being taken care of, I mean, the last time this happened, the guy who did it went to jail for 10 years.
Is
doing 10 years jail time.
About 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I lose track of time, in which they thought the Russians were doing it. And they could come up with everybody's password. I mean, everybody's password. Mm-hmm. I think this is over. I think the whole thing is done. There is no security on the internet, and anybody who doesn't treat it that way is nuts.
There's silence because he just may be right. It's a little bit extreme, but I think you're really close to. We don't
rely
have
on it so much now.
I just want to pass out on a note. Go ahead.
Yeah. In journalism, we were investigative reporting. We want our stuff hidden.
Joe is passing me a note, but there is a barrier between us. So it can't say your fly is open. Okay. Oh, the lockbox is at WAMC.org, right? Oh, I see your point. Okay, you make a point.
Private.
You make a point. Stupid Alan.
Okay.
But we've never had a complaint ever. Never, ever.
We're going to take a break.
Well, here we are at 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206.
Let's take a break. Rosemary, you have to leave early.
I know you have really cool business. Excellent Ukrainian journalists around. I hope to bring them on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, going
to
be in here tomorrow.
Drill Utarius Drill. Ukraine. You were back for the time. You were up in the sky.
Okay, got it.
Excellent. Rosemary, thank you very much. We will see you tomorrow with Friend. And that is very cool. Thank you. We'll be back with other issues and talk about other cool stuff. And anything that you miss that you hear in the car, you can comment on tomorrow.
Yeah, call.
Excellent. Rosemary, thank you. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from the 13th Annual Mohawk Valley Garlic and Herb Festival, Canal Place, Little Falls, New York. Garlic and herb growers, garlic cuisine, live music, and more, Saturday, September 13th, 10 to 5. Eat, stink, and be merry. MVGHF.com. Alacrity Frame Workshop, Lark Street, Albany, New York. Offering custom framing and local art in the Capital Region. Open Monday through Saturday, 518-915-1956. And the Center for Extended Care on University Drive in Amherst. A family-owned and operated nursing center offering rehab, long-term care, and Alzheimer's specialty care. CECAA.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel in our final moments this morning. Mike Spain, Alan Chartuk, and myself, we are the survivors this morning. And Rosemary voted off the island.
She took off.
She'll be
for
back.
For good reason.
She'll be back tomorrow. Yes, for a very good reason. And we'll be. She'll be back tomorrow. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Letters, Alan.
Yes. Yes, as Jack Benny would say. Peter says... folks, all clouds leak. It's called rain.
Yeah.
That's
all
from
right.
Bonnie. Okay. And Ryan says, it's betrayed us. It's Jennifer Lawrence and Kate Upton we're talking about. It's not surprising. Their naked pics were hacked. Most people are anonymous and not truly threatened by this stuff. It hasn't failed us. It's failed a few actresses. Don't worry. I don't worry about my security on the internet.
Okay.
Well, Ryan, I do.
Well, yeah, and what do you say to the thousands of people, if not millions of people, whose information was compromised during a hacking of Target and other high-profile department stores where that information was taken and hacked, and all of their credit cards had to be changed? There have been more, I think there was a point last year where almost every week another major retailer, another major company, I know Amazon took a hit, eBay, where a company and that information was taken. So it's certainly not just actresses. It's not just trying to out some celebrities of some embarrassing photos. It's also trying to get our money.
Okay, so Bill from New Paltz says the following thing. Re-password security. Everyone should use a password vault. I've used Passwords Plus for many years. I used to make my own hopefully uncrackable passwords, but now I rely on the software to create a random password each website I use. You need remember only one password, the one you needed to open the vault. You know, well, that would be my problem. The random passwords are hard to remember, but it doesn't matter because you can copy it from the password vault and paste it into the web page to log on. Works with computers and phones. If you don't use it, you ought to consider it. And he says, I have no fiduciary interest in other programs. That's Bill from New Paltz.
I'm only a client.
And Lisa says, Alan is right. Let me read that part again. Alan is right.
Read that again.
Privacy is a myth. What do people expect when they live their lives on social media? You want to keep your moments private. Do not it. And if you do, please do not share it anyway. All right? I guess that would appear to be it.
One just came in from Tim.
Oh, Tim, really? Well, I don't have that one. So you, oh, yeah, there it is. Just showed up.
Okay.
Okay, here it goes. Tim, rule number one of online security, use well-known, widely used, or heavily peer-reviewed cryptography. Rule number two, use open-source password managers and a randomized password for every account and site. Rule three, use two-factor authentication as much as possible as much as possible in capital letters, and like that. And one to a customer, please. Okay, Joe?
Okay. Let's get to this final note this morning and talk about the story in the New York Times this morning that a new study suggests that efforts to improve what children eat begin before they even learn to walk. A series of nutritional studies published today has found. Taken together, the data indicate that infant feeding patterns persist far longer than has been appreciated. Our early taste preferences, particularly for fruits and vegetables, and on the flip side, for sugary beverages are lasting, according to Elsie Tavares, a doctor and chief of the Division of General Pediatrics at Mass General Hospital for Children in Boston, who is not involved in the new research. The studies
they always say that. That's so interesting. In all the newspapers, yes. Mike, like yours, they always say, was not involved in the research.
Trying to get an objective point of view. Well, somebody who doesn't have skin in the game.
And who doesn't know anybody else, ever, in the field.
The package of 11 studies was published in the Journal of Pediatrics and was funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Food and Drug Administration, among others. Investigators tracked the diets of roughly 1,500 six-year-olds, comparing their eating patterns to those observed in a study that followed them until age one. So childhood diet habits are set in infancy. What do you think?
I agree. I think everything is set from the first 4 years.
Don't we?
Yeah, that's Freud. Mother says, what forms eat us? Your vegetables.
That's Freud.
She's telling you good information.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody told me that my twin brother and I were underweight, and so that they would shove raw liver down our throats.
Well, I'm glad someone had to tell you this and you didn't remember it.
I don't like real liver.
No, I think of my own kids, and some of them were very picky eaters, and the ones that were extremely picky are today, as adults, fine eaters. They you know, the broad spectrum. So you can relearn your eating habits, but it doesn't always happen that way.
No.
We were fortunate.
No. But if breastfeeding, I was a little taken aback by this. If breastfeeding is going on, let's say, in many cases, right? I don't know much about this, for a year.
Through the first year, yeah, and
first
beyond.
Year,
yeah,
first
sure.
year.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with whether you like spinach or not? Or whether you like sugar or not?
Well, you have to introduce foods somewhere in that first year.
I see.
Hopefully.
I see.
You know, solid foods. Or
shows
maybe
you
you'll be up all night long every 2 hours.
No, that's
parents
not,
learn that
that's
quickly.
Not true. Not with
not
sleep,
always.
Not
but,
with sleep training and everything, yeah, now.
Sometimes just breastfeeding isn't enough, some parents find, I think. But that's beside
Why
the point.
Why are you smiling that way, Joe?
I'm enjoying
watching the dynamic.
Yes.
Well, every child's different, I guess, and some will eat very well and still get up during the night. But I think having a full tummy helps a baby sleep, and I may be oversimplifying it. But anyway, yes, habits are formed early, and the foods you like today.
You can't deny that.
Or the foods you don't like today can be traced to maybe some tough experiences you had with those foods back when you were a kid.
But the whole idea of taste is interesting. I mean, like, if you can tell from a baby if you put, you know, like, pureed Brussels sprouts in their mouth and they make that scowling
right.
face,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, mm-hmm. well, that's, isn't that their taste? I mean, so...
The baby food companies used to put sugar and salt into the baby foods. They don't anymore, but they used to, because one of the reasons was that parents would taste the baby food and, you know, to make sure it wasn't too hot, and if it didn't taste good to them, they wouldn't, you know, they'd feel like the kid was missing out, but so, I mean, just...
Same thing with dog food.
Yeah, well, I suppose.
Let's hope there's a difference.
Take the dog food. Joe, let's we got suppose. A lot of letters.
Okay, we have like 20 seconds.
Okay, but I didn't want to read them because of the 20 seconds, but I did want to say you can read all of these letters online.
Yeah, you can go and find them, and they're there, and we thank you.
Where are they?
At WAMC.org.
Right, okay.
/roundtable. Thank you very much, Michael and Alan. Thank you very much, and we'll be back tomorrow for another edition. We, again, welcome your letters, roundtable@WAMC.org.